This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's hour two on this Friday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Come on in, stay a while. It's a meat Friday, by the way. We have been inundated with meat here this past week. And the Traeger grill's fired up, smoked baby back ribs, green chili mac and cheese, cornbread. Who has it better than we do?
Nobody.
And it's the final fork. It's the championship will be decided today. Chicken parm versus grilled cheese. Nashville hot chicken sandwich versus French dip. Wow. Those are four worthy top seats there. So you can vote. Go to danpatrick.com on the final fork in our sandwich madness here. All right, 877-3DP show. Operator Tyler standing by. Take your phone calls. And good morning, those watching on Peacock. Thank you for downloading the app. The Celebrity Bracket Challenge, where Jim Boeheim has NC State, Purdue, and Connecticut in his final four picks. I think he had Clemson or North Carolina maybe as his other pick there. But Boeheim is leading the Celebrity Bracket Challenge, powered by NetSuite, and it's available at foxsportsradio.com. Poll question for hour two is going to be what, Steve O'Connor?
Paulie threw this one out earlier. If you could only watch one, March Madness or the Super Bowl?
Hmm. Okay. Paulie?
The entirety of March Madness.
Okay.
All 64, whatever it may be, or the one Super Bowl game.
Now, if I may.
You may.
The entirety of March Madness, I believe for the first time this year, includes the women's tournament. I think this is the first year that they ever used the branding March Madness for the women.
I believe so.
I'm including that, then, in the entirety of March Madness.
I would take March Madness.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, yeah. All day.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
I think this is the first year they've let them use that.
Yeah, I think
March
so.
March Madness, which is so stupid.
By the way, WrestleMania, it's Cody Rhodes hopes to finish his story. He takes on Roman Reigns and The Rock, WrestleMania 40, Saturday and Sunday at 7 Eastern. Why is Cody Rhodes the headliner here and not The Rock? Curious about that.
Wait, DP, he is. It's a tag team match.
Well, but it says Cody Rhodes hopes to finish his story as he takes on Roman Reigns and The Rock.
Yeah, they've had a big back and forth the past couple of months.
But once again, Cody Rhodes is the headliner here, not The Rock. They're talking about Cody Rhodes finishing his story.
But that's the story, though.
Is it kind of like Paige Beckers continues her return to battle Caitlin Clark in Iowa?
Fair.
So it's Saturday and Sunday, WrestleMania.
If I could put it into sports terms for the rest of us to get.
I go out to dinner sometimes with people, and they try to take a topic and put it into sort of a sports comparison so I can understand it. And my wife laughs because these people are trying to dumb it down as if I don't have any other interest other than sports. You'd get like, it'd be akin to, this is how it was phrased to me last night. You know, this would be akin to, and I went, oh, no. Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady. And I go, oh, okay. No, okay, now I understand.
Oh.
My wife.
Oh, now I get it.
My
now.
Wife hits me under the table like, don't do it, don't do it. It'd be, be akin to.
And it's go, like, see, like there's an AFC and an NFC. That's kind of how the political parties work here. And then at the end, there's a thing called an election where they kind of face up. Oh, that's how we get.
Yes, that's how. Oh, that's
got
how
it.
We
Thank
do.
You.
That's how we do it. Oh, look who's back. Look who is back. It's Andrew in Santa Monica. He set it on fire yesterday. He was talking about Magic Johnson. Wasn't Michael Jordan who knocked the Jazz out of the finals? Hi, Andrew.
How you guys doing? Good morning. Listen, I really think you and Marvin agree with me. You're just so caught up in the Nike Air Jordan matrix, you just don't know it yet. I mean, yeah, Jordan had to score 61 to beat the Celtics because they were, what, as you put it, one of the greatest teams in NBA history. The NBA in the 80s was fantastic. Yeah, Marvin, you're right. That Sixers team was fantastic. The NBA in the 80s was fantastic. And Dan, you're absolutely right. In the 90s, the league was, as you said yesterday, quote unquote, terrible. Right?
No, I said the Knicks and Cavs made watching basketball in the 90s terrible.
Okay. The NBA was a far stronger league in the 1980s than it was in the 1990s. And Jordan was in the league in the 80s. He came into the league in 84. He got his wingman in 86. So this whole thing about how the Bulls roster was no good for
okay,
7
okay,
years.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Nobody knew about Scottie Pippen. So don't act like, oh, my God, they drafted Scottie. He got traded on draft night, Andrew. He got traded for Olden Polonies. Nobody knew who Scottie Pippen was. Nobody knew that Phil Jackson was going to be the Zen master. He coached in the CBA. This is, you know, after the fact that we're going, oh, of course, look at all the people he had. Magic went to a Laker team where Kareem was the league MVP. And last I looked, is one of the top five players in the history of the sport. And, oh, by the way, playing for Pat Riley. So it's not apples to apples when you're going to compare.
And yet the Lakers weren't a good team before Magic got there. They were an okay team. They averaged 46 wins a season in the two seasons before Magic got it. That's a lower tier, lower seed playoff team. They weren't a good team.
Bulls we know weren't good. They weren't a playoff team. We know that.
I agree with that, but the baddest man to ever step on a basketball court does not wait until the league comes down in order to win a championship. The baddest man ever step on a basketball court gets there, scores 42 points, 15 rebounds, 7 assists, and calls his shot on the airplane on the way to Philadelphia.
No, it's one of the greatest performances to win a championship. Nobody's arguing that. And by the way, Jordan had 63, not 61, against the Celtics. And yes, look at that front line. Is there a greater front line than those three in Boston? And the answer is no. It's a Hall of Fame, one of the greatest teams of all time, and they had no answer for Mike. Magic's a great player. I don't want to denigrate him. You're saying he's the greatest player of all time. The guy who is MVP, the guy who is an all-first team defense and offense, scoring champ, winning titles, nobody's done that. No one.
I agree. Completely agree. Jordan was one of the best defenders of all time. He was one of the best scorers of all time. But we're not talking about the best scorer or the best defender. We're talking about the best basketball player of all time. And there's a lot more
a to guy who plays offense and defense, that to me is a basketball player. Right?
You ever saw Magic, you know there's a lot more to basketball than that.
I did see Magic.
I wish I'd seen him play.
Yeah, I did see him.
He was never on TV.
Right? He was the engine that made the team go. He made everybody else better. People just stood around and watched Jordan score. And Jordan scored 60 against the Celtics. He scored 60 against the Cavs and got bounced out of the playoffs by Craig Elo and Ron Harper.
No, it's the jumper over Craig Elo that sent them into the next round of the playoffs.
Yeah, he was getting bounced by the teams, the fantastic teams that Magic had to deal with. And in that environment, 5 rings, winning a championship every other year, basically
great player.
Your entire career is far more impressive than waiting 7 years and then winning six titles against teams that we barely remember when the NBA was
terrible. So the Utah Jazz that have two of the top 20 players of all time, bounce them, right?
Yeah, not in their prime, because in their prime they were getting bounced by Magic in the 80s.
No, that's when they were first. They weren't in their prime.
Okay. They were in their prime. They got to the finals.
Okay, Andrew. You have Magic. Good for you. Congratulations. He's a wonderful player. But if you think that, you know, my love affair with Michael Jordan, admiration has to do with Nike and Air Jordan. I don't even own a pair of them. I don't care about his shoe. My job is to be objective, not sit here and go, oh my gosh, I'm going to fawn all over. I'm the one who is saying you have to put LeBron in that conversation as greatest player of all time. Does that sound like I'm an apologist, a sycophant for Michael Jordan? No, my job's to be objective. It's the people who say, oh, Mike's the greatest player of all time. No, I say you got to be careful with that, because what LeBron has done, his resume is far greater than Mike's. Plain and simple. LeBron's numbers, when it's all said and done, playing at a higher level like that for 20 years. So I am questioning Jordan. I've talked about Kareem being maybe the most underrated player in the history of the sport. So it's not like I sit here and go, nope, Mike's the greatest player of all time. My job is to evolve and learn and listen and watch. And I was able... I'm there when Magic hits the sky hook in the Boston Garden, Andrew. I did see Magic play.
You saw him play?
Yeah.
You saw him play in person?
What? Yes. Crazy. I did see him.
Not on TV?
Yeah. Yeah, I did see him.
That was a funny one, though. Yeah. If you ever saw Magic play.
If you ever saw Magic play.
Yeah, like he's talking about George Mikan.
Oh, Andrew, thank you.
I love so much that he called back in, though.
Yeah.
And I hope Monday, when we're back from vacation,
yes,
he calls back in again.
Yeah, you call in every day if you
want,
yeah,
Andrew. I love it.
I have no problem
with
that.
Does he want a podcast?
Yes.
Sign him up.
Cody in Texas. Good morning, Cody. Thanks for holding. What's on your mind?
Hey, Dan, I know you're going to talk about it here probably in a bit, but the Ohtani Dodgers thing, especially with him coming out and saying he spoke to the person who caught the ball, and now they are saying they've never spoken to Ohtani. It just, you know, it's putting Ohtani again in the light. You know, is he trustworthy, or, you know, is there a misinterpretation with the interpreter? Are we going to blame the interpreter again? You know, what's going on with Ohtani?
Well, I'm going to talk to a reporter who spoke to the woman who had the ball, and he'll join us coming up. Sam Blum is going to join us. He writes for The Athletic. I want to be fair to the story here, because it doesn't paint Ohtani or the Dodgers in a positive light here. And not in that order, but I figured I'd have the writer on who spoke to her so we could find out. You know, she got the ball, but it felt like she was being pressured to give the ball. It's Ohtani's first home run as a Dodger. We talked to Darren Revelle, and his job is to look at how much memorabilia would be worth, and he thinks that ball would be worth at least $100,000. There is a foul ball that was signed by Ohtani that I think is... It's going for $15,000 in the memorabilia store at Dodger Stadium. This is his first home run as a Dodger. And Darren Revelle said at least $100,000. So we'll talk to the reporter about this. And I said at the time that if you're going to give the ball to Ohtani, which, fine, she's a diehard Dodger fan, you give him the ball, what are you going to get in return? She got a couple of hats and a couple of baseballs, and I believe a bat, and then I think the value was $1,000. I would have asked for the bat that he hit the home run with. He's not going to give that up, but or I'd ask for his jersey. Something like that. And I know she's a diehard Dodger fan, so she probably wanted to do the right thing. Well, I don't think it turned out that way for her. But we'll talk to the reporter who spoke to her from The Athletic, and he'll join us in about 10 minutes from now. Dave in Cincinnati. Good morning, Dave. What's on your mind today?
Morning, DP.
Hey, bud.
510-195. I'm curious if you think college athletics will get to a point where colleges may look at a player who isn't thrilled with what team, say Caleb Williams, who's not may not be thrilled about going to the Bears, and says, you know what, we're going to fight the system. We're going to try to get our player extra years and maybe get rid of this whole four-year of eligibility or five-year with this exemption or that exemption, and basically make college sports rival pro sports.
Well, they're going to make it pro sports, but I don't see where you have to have a cap here. We had the COVID year, and you got guys who were 26 years of age playing against 18, 19-year-olds. That's just not fair. I think you got to cap it at 4 years of eligibility, unless there's an injury, and then maybe you get a redshirt year, an extra year there. Do you know that this is part of the proposal here? I was talking to somebody who is affiliated with this new proposal of getting maybe 80 schools together. Basically, you have a farm system for the NFL. And he said that he sees the possibility of players being traded in college football. Let that one sink in a little bit. You imagine you come in and you're throw out a name, and you're told by your head coach you've been traded. You're J.J. McCarthy, and you go in, and Jim Harbaugh has to tell you you've been traded to Indiana. But, hey, we got a couple of really good offensive linemen in return. Like, it's crazy. That everything that they're talking about right now, relegation, which is I've been in favor of that for years now, and they picked up on that. They're going to have relegation. Everything's on the table from what I was told last night. Everything. How much you're going to make. You know, the whole thing, are you going to school? Like, do you have to be eligible? Like, I was asking just, like, common sense things, and the guy goes, you know, I don't know. Like, you're a professional in college. Do you have to go to class? Do you have to maintain a 2.0 grade point? Like, I don't know. Yeah, Paul.
There's a lot of people on the academic side of this that don't think you deserve or are in need of a scholarship anymore if you're making hundreds of thousands of dollars with NIL.
I agree.
Or if you're a paid employee, if you're a paid employee of a university, you don't get free classes your first or second year. So it'd be circumventing university rules.
Josh in LA. Hey, Josh, what's on your mind today?
Hey, how you doing, Dan? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Turn down your radio, Josh. Turn down your radio.
Okay. Just a minute. Okay.
All right.
So I'm just calling because basically, just to piggyback what one of the other callers said, LeBron does not deserve to be compared with Jordan at all. For the fact, the only one that does come close to being with Jordan is obviously Kobe. LeBron needed Wade and Bosh to beat the old Celtics big three that Kobe beat with Pau Gasol and a bunch of role players.
Okay. I mean, the reason why you're going to pick Kobe is that Kobe played a game that was similar to Mike's. LeBron doesn't. And yes, did LeBron made teams a super team when he went there? There is nobody who could have dragged that Cavaliers roster the first time he went to the NBA Finals, and they got roughed up by San Antonio. There's no other player who could have done that. I don't think Mike could have done that. That was one of the worst teams to play for a championship. And yes, he did join Dwayne Wade. He tried to get players to go to Cleveland, Josh. Nobody wanted to go to Cleveland. Chris Bosh, I don't even think he wanted to fly over Cleveland. So LeBron knew if you're going to be the chosen one and, you know, all the pressure he put on himself, he had to win titles. And that's why he went to Miami. Then he goes to the Lakers. People want to hold it against him that he wanted in the bubble. Well, took away home court advantage from him, and he did win the championship, like it or not. But, yes, to me, LeBron deserves to be mentioned in the conversation. Nate, who else played at this kind of level for 20 years? Now, there's things that I don't like about LeBron, passive-aggressive. I mean, there's a lot of things that happen here. But I still marvel at what he does. And I think that's really what's important here. We fall in love with Mike, and it's easy to do it. He wasn't polarizing. Now, he might have been off the court, but he wasn't polarized. I mean, he just played great. We love that. And he won championships, didn't lose, all of those things, did it with the Bulls. But Mike needed help to win those championships. And Jerry Krause, the person who Mike didn't like, went out and got players to help Mike win those championships. So Mike didn't do it all on his own. He needed help as well. He didn't leave. And I think because of that, we look at LeBron differently, just like we do KD. We'll take a break. We'll get more on this story of Shohei Ohtani's first home run ball and the woman who got it. We'll talk to the reporter who spoke to her. That'll be coming up next here on The Dan Patrick Show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of The Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack
you know,
one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite. I think we just experienced an earthquake here. The building was rattling a little bit here. I thought it was just high winds, and then we went outside, and we're getting reports from New York City as well that that was an earthquake. Yeah, Paul?
As soon as we went to break, we were all sitting here, and the whole floor started shaking, and the lighting grid above our head was shaking and creaking, and you know, for about 6-7 seconds, and people are saying it's all over the East Coast of New York and Connecticut.
I don't know the last time we've had an earthquake. I've been in Los Angeles during the NBA Finals years ago, and there was an earthquake. It was like 3.5, but that one got our attention there. Yeah, Paul?
Do you want to play the earthquake game later? The
The size of it?
Yeah, the Richter scale. Is that how it works?
Okay.
We'll play it after our guest.
All right. All right. All right. This is a story that gaining some momentum. The fan that caught Shohei Ohtani's first home run as a Dodger has some hard feelings. Sam Blum is a writer for The Athletic. He got a chance to speak to this fan and the transaction that took place afterwards. Sam, where do we pick up the story here? First of all, thanks for joining us.
No, yeah, thank you so much for having me. You know, I mean, it's just kind of a wild story, and I think that there are some interesting elements to this, obviously. You know, this is Shohei Ohtani's first home run ball. You know, we talked to, I believe, like an appraiser at Heritage Auctions who said this ball would likely be worth at least $100,000, if not more, and obviously value can kind of go up or down over time. But what they traded it for is basically worthless because it doesn't have an authentication with it. You know, she got two caps, a bat, and a baseball. So it wasn't a great trade. And I think, moreover, the more important part of the story is that the fans felt like they were pressured into this. You know, they were told that they wouldn't get the ball authenticated if they left with it.
Well, walk me through this, though, Sam. Yeah. She gets the ball, then what happens?
I think about a dozen security guards come to the section within a couple minutes. They get taken back to this, I think, just kind of empty restaurant, you know, in one of the club areas. And the husband who was with his wife, the wife caught the ball. They were separated. And at that point, you know, this negotiation was kind of started with, we're going to offer you two signed hats. And I think she felt quite pressured and in a situation where she didn't have her husband and she didn't really necessarily feel comfortable negotiating as much and basically said, well, was there anything else you can get me? And then got a hat and a bat, or then got a ball and a bat. So
purposely separated from her husband?
Yes, that was what they said. That was what the couple said, yes.
Dodgers say anything? Have they responded?
They declined to comment on that.
The authenticity of this baseball, though, was there any talk of if you leave with this baseball, we won't authenticate it?
That was what Amber Roman, the woman who caught the ball, told me. Yeah, that they would not have authenticated it, and that basically, if you leave with a baseball, you know, that's not been authenticated, it's almost valueless at that point.
Did she meet Ohtani?
She did not meet Ohtani.
Did Ohtani say he met with her?
It's a complicated kind of scenario or situation here because his interpreter interpreted his words as saying, I talked with the fan. Now, I think that there is some ambiguity in how, you know, what he said in Japanese could possibly be translated to English. Yeah. And it was more of a colloquialism, I think, what he said. And so I think that there is some gray area as to it could potentially have been he was referring to maybe staff or a different person connecting with this fan. So it's a little unclear, but it was translated from his interpreter to say, I talked to the fan. And, you know, we reached out to the Dodgers and gave them time to kind of clarify this. And again, they declined to kind of respond to any of it.
Now, she loves the Dodgers. I think she said that she's a diehard fan and was hoping to be treated better. Yeah, everything has litigation, it seems like, attached to it here, Sam. Are they considering doing anything with the Dodgers?
You know, I think right now the Dodgers have basically said that they would like to invite the fan back, that they would like to reconnect with the fan, possibly to discuss the transaction. I don't know if that would mean updating the offer to some extent or doing something nice for them. I think that would be the right thing to do in this situation. That being said, I don't necessarily know if the fans are would pursue any sort of legal action after that. I think right now the next step will be hopefully reconciling these fans who should have been treated better. And, you know, hopefully one thing I hope people get from this story is that, you know, from what I understand, this type of stuff isn't incredibly rare. So hopefully, you know, when these milestone home runs are hit in ballparks across America, the fans are treated like the diehards that they are.
What would you have asked for?
I think it's so tough in that situation because if you're surrounded by a bunch of security guards who have probably been practicing for this moment and you're just a fan, it's probably really tough. I mean, that being said, that thing is quite valuable. You know, I think it does belong to Ohtani. It's his milestone and he should have it. But, you know, you got to have a fair trade. And, you know, whether that's like lifetime season tickets, if you're a big fan, I think that would be, it has monetary value and it also has, you know, sentimental team value to it. So that might be something.
At least season tickets, yeah, just for this year and World Series tickets.
Yeah, exactly. As long as maybe a season tickets, as long as Ohtani is in a Dodgers uniform.
Thanks for updating us on this, Sam. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
That's Sam Blum, the baseball writer for The Athletic. How's this first month been for the Dodgers here? There's been a lot going on here. You know, you open up the season in South Korea, then you come back, and then you have the interpreter, the gambling. Then Ohtani finally hits his first home run. Mookie Betts has been great, by the way. Yes, Paul?
You know, the story is a little bothersome. If some staffer from the Dodgers didn't give this woman a chance to realize the value of what she had and threaten in some way that if you don't give us this ball now and you walk out with it, we won't authenticate it. That's where, you know, like you said, lawsuits can be done. I mean, $100,000, we don't know anything about her financial situation. That's a chunk.
Yeah, but you separate her from her husband. That bothers me. Because, you know, that felt like that was intentional. And, yeah, that's not a good look. If that's what happened, that's a terrible look here. I don't know. If you're asking for something, you know, what can you ask for? What is fair in a situation like that? You love your team. That's your guy. Hit a home run. But let's say you do take that baseball home. There's video of you holding that baseball up in the scrum, and you're right there, and nobody else has the baseball. Unless you're going to say, no, we have the baseball, but you know in your heart of hearts, you don't have the baseball. She does. I mean, if I said to her, knowing what you know now, would you have taken the risk and just taken the baseball home? I would. I'd be like, all right, let me know when you find that baseball, because everybody knows that I got that baseball and I'm holding it right here and it's on video. I would just say, hey, let me have season tickets here. How's that? Is that too much to ask? Yeah, Paul.
The story, the reporter Sam Blum was pretty clear that it's not clear that Ohtani said he met the fan. The translation could have been messed up there. But the average person on social media who's seen this story says, oh, Ohtani's lying again. That was the reaction. I'm just telling you, not my reaction, but the reaction like, oh, everyone's putting it out there. A lot of other sites are putting out there that Ohtani is telling the truth about meeting the fan with the baseball.
They never met or talked to Ohtani, though in Ohtani's post-game comments on the subject, according to the translation of the interpreter, he seemed to suggest either they had spoken or they had communicated in some fashion. It was not immediately clear if that was a misunderstanding or if Ohtani was intending to communicate that he had gotten a message to the fan who caught the ball. Ohtani, through his interpreter, said, I was able to talk to the fan and was able to get it back. Obviously, it's a very special ball, a lot of feelings towards it. I'm very grateful that it's back. All right. The woman's boyfriend, I believe, said that they took advantage of her. There were a bunch of security guys around her. They wouldn't let her talk to me or give, I couldn't give her any advice. There was no way for us to leave. They had pretty much cornered us in the back. Yeah. They said that he was kept at a distance from his wife by stadium security guards and told they couldn't talk to one another. Like, that's crazy. Over a home run ball, that should be a celebration. He said that they didn't want him to influence the decision. At least that's how his girlfriend took it. A lot of pressure there. All right. Well, you know, the reporter did reach out the Dodgers, and they declined to answer any questions here. Maybe there's a follow-up here soon. Yes, Eden?
One thing that I think people should chill on with this one is the Shohei quote of, I was able to speak to the fan and get the ball back.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He's speaking through an interpreter.
True.
And that's very possibly lost in translation.
Yeah.
I was able to speak to the fan, or they were able to speak to the fan. Those kinds of things get mixed up all the time. So that's a pretty unfair part of the story.
Yeah, but that's what people are jumping on, that Ohtani's lying again. And
yeah.
I would give him the benefit of the doubt that maybe he did say something that was going to be relayed to the fan. You know, it's not a face-to-face, I think is what he's saying. Yes, Paul.
I don't think this is going to be enough to get the old translator's job back. I'm just saying that.
No, he's
there.
Not.
I think he's gone forever.
No, yeah. Think so. Too soon for that. Yes, Don.
But if that's even remotely true, separating someone from their partner or their spouse, that's like, how is there not a legal part to that? Like, how do you pull two people away from each other and corner them like they're in an interrogation
room? Wasn't put in jail.
No, but
okay. She was in a room, and then her boyfriend was in another room.
But they wouldn't.
They
let
weren't
him
tortured in, until they got the ball back.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah, but he.
I know. I know. I mean, it sounds like that she was. Are you aware what that she wasn't given food or water?
No,
she wasn't given food or water.
But they did separate the two.
Yeah,
that,
okay.
That is odd.
How is that a thing? Separating someone with...
If you don't give us the ball back right now, you got to be an Angels fan for the rest of the season. Oh, no, you got it.
I'll give you the ball.
That's what they said. That's what they said.
All right, we're playing the earthquake game.
I have the numbers after the break.
Oh, I got to wait till after the break.
Yes.
To update just how big of an earthquake.
We need a second source.
Can we find out the last time we've had an earthquake around here? Get some of our best people on that. More of your phone calls coming up. Back after this.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
All right, we're playing the earthquake game. We had an earthquake about 20 minutes ago, and I got to see some of the video from you guys getting out of your chairs to run outside after the earthquake happened. Nobody was checking on me to see if I was okay. You guys all ran outside like,
Unfair.
Did anybody say, hey, where's Dan?
Most, you spend almost every break back in that garage.
Yeah.
And Paul and I both went immediately towards the garage area.
Yeah.
You can call us heroes.
But I wasn't out there.
Well, how would we supposed to know? That's usually where you are.
I was right here. I was right here.
You're normally tinkering back there with some boxes.
Everybody jumped up and ran out.
On behalf of Seton, you're welcome.
Okay. Thank you.
I went to check my car windshield.
If you're watching right now, we are showing the video on Peacock of you guys scampering out of the room.
And our director is
racing to your rescue.
Okay.
And our director is shaking his phone while showing the video to make it look like more earthquakey.
Yeah, look at that. You guys running out. Oh. Although Todd's not running.
I did not.
No.
That's actually full speed.
You're strolling.
I was
now you gallivanting. Come back. Now you come back and then you look to see where I am.
I did, and I was also like, should I take my laptop and my notebook?
Oh, so you were checking on me.
It was my laptop, notebook, and then where's there?
Two-part earthquake game. The size of the earthquake. I've only been in one other earthquake, and it was 3.5.
Oh, that's a nice number.
Todd, what's your number for the earthquake that we experienced? The magnitude.
Okay, my number, because it's the final four, and today's April 5th, 4.5.
Wow. Seton.
3.7.
All right. Marvin?
4.2.
All right. I'm going to go 4-3. 4-3.
Something I never had in school. I'm going to go 4.0.
Wait, you know the answer.
I know, but I wrote down my answer during the break. Just so you know, my answer is wrong. So if I'm cheating, I would cheat to be right.
No, I don't know about that. I think we busted you. Now you said that you had 4.0.
I wrote down my answer, and it's wrong.
What is it?
4.8 earthquake rocks the New York State tri-state area.
Wow.
See, an 8 looks a lot like an O.
Yeah.
So that's clearly...
I'm a much better cheater than that. The epicenter is in northern New Jersey, Seton O'Connor.
Whoa. Where?
Probably Alpine, one of those towns or something. Mm-hmm. But it was felt...
And they can't catch a break.
All the way up to... Albany, Springfield, Massachusetts, and down to Maryland.
Okay. Yeah, that's a big one. All right. The second part of the earthquake game, if you have 5 seconds to grab one thing out of the man cave and run outside. Paulie, I'm going to start with you. You're going to grab one thing. You got 5 seconds.
I got an autographed picture of me and Will Ferrell at my desk, and it's the only copy because it's not on a phone anywhere. I would have grabbed that.
Okay. Marvin, you can grab one thing.
All my UConn gear.
Well.
I have a UConn jersey.
Okay. Your UConn jersey.
For.
Okay. Todd, what about you?
I would grab my laptop, but if it's a souvenir thing from the man cave, this little Broncos punching guy, I think I would, because it's nearby, and I think I could have fun with that in the parking lot.
You're going to take your laptop?
Yeah, that's the first thing that would come to mind is my laptop and notebook, if I could take two things. But one thing, I'd grab my laptop.
Seton, what are you grabbing?
There's a Landon Donovan shirt down that hallway over there.
Yeah.
Autograph. Not that I don't have this mapped out. I would grab that.
Yes. I would, if my dog Winnie was here, I'd grab Winnie. And if Winnie wasn't here and Penny was here, I'd grab Penny. And if I was going to grab something, I would try to grab you guys to take you to safety.
That's a lovely answer.
That's what we were trying to do because we thought you were back there, but it turns out you were.
Yeah, I was right here.
Hiding in your other spot.
I was right over here. Yeah. Yes, Paul.
Why did it have to happen during a commercial break? If it was 2 minutes earlier or 2 minutes later, there would have been earthquake on air. You could Sports Emmy surviving the quake.
Yeah. Now, are there going to be shows who are going to be able to use that to their advantage? By the way, next Tuesday, we find out if we're nominated for a Sports Emmy.
Oh, yes.
I think it's next Tuesday. Mm-hmm. We're going to be on vacation, so therefore you can't see me cry if we don't get nominated. Yes, Todd.
Can we trust any post video of this earthquake where people behind a camera throwing mugs and stuff around and knocking pictures down as if that's the earthquake caused it when they are doing it?
We could reenact it.
We could.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean... Oh, my God, what was that? Hey, where are you guys going?
Dan, where are you?
We'll save you, Dan.
Somebody get Dan!
I'm over here.
Where's Dan Paul? Go get Dan!
I'm going to die.
Save Dan!
Thank you. Thank you. That's how it should have happened.
There we go, shuffling through the kitchen. Yep. Where's Dan? He's back here.
No. But I like how Todd was looking back, and then I thought he was looking back for me. He's actually looking back for his laptop.
The quote was actually, was that some type of massive gust of wind?
It was. That was mine.
Is it really?
Yeah. Well,
we don't have earthquakes.
Was that
here.
A gust of wind? It's like everything was shaking.
To be fair, there's sometimes big dump trucks that come past our studio.
That's true.
And the place has a little shake, but you hear the truck. It was the big shake and nothing else.
That's what Dylan and the big German thought, that sometimes these trucks go by and it rattles the man cave here. Whew. Hashtag warrior.
Heroes, that's what we are.
Yeah. Yeah. Whew. We did it. All right, now let's resume our regularly scheduled program. Already in progress. Armando in Atlantic City. Armando, did you feel the earthquake?
No, I didn't, but I was in one in Los Angeles at the airport, and it sucks.
Oh.
Everything was fine. The whole place was swaying until two ladies started screaming, then everybody got up and started running around.
Oh, okay. What's your question for me?
We don't have an earthquake here, I don't think. Anyway, who do you think is it? Forget about who's the best basketball player. Who's the MVP to their team of all time? I have a question for Marvin, too, so don't hang up on me.
Well, ask your question.
who's your MVP of all time basketball to their team? LeBron was on four different teams. Jordan was just on one. And there's other players, you know, Will Chamberlain, whoever.
Okay. What's
all-time
your
MVP?
What's your question?
The question, Marvin, is it's for everybody, Ruben. Pick your all-time all-white team basketball.
Thank you, Armando.
We've done that like 10 times on this
show. MVP of your team? I don't have a team. So I'm not sure Seton has a basketball team or Todd has a basketball team. Do you want to pick your all-white starting five?
Is that all right? Or all?
I think it's all white. I think it was all white. Thank you, Armando.
Just kind of an all-right team.
Yeah.
it'd be the cream team.
Yeah. I like that he was asking you your favorite.
I don't know.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite all-white team if you were going to build a roster here, Marvin?
Not off the top of my head,
okay.
I don't.
Good. Adam in Indiana. Hi, Adam. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. I hope you guys are doing well. Kind of got on the topic yesterday about how long it took Michael to win his first ring. I'm curious what you guys would think about how long it would have taken LeBron to win his first ring had he not jumped ship and went to Miami. Because when he left for Miami, they kind of obviously went downhill, which then led to high draft picks. Wiggins, then, which led to a Kevin Love trade. If he doesn't leave for Miami, they don't get those draft picks, and I don't think he wins a ring in Cleveland as soon as Michael won one in Chicago.
Okay, but you're missing the point. LeBron was, what, 2 years in the league, and he took the Cavs to the NBA Finals? Okay? Nobody does that. Look at the roster. He went to the NBA Finals. Yes, did he need help to win? Yes, he knew that. And that's why he left. Yes, Marv.
Let's not disrespect Booby Gibson.
Yeah, Booby.
Oh, my gosh. Who else was on that team? Big Z.
Donyell Marshall.
Varejão.
Eric Snow.
Eric Snow, the point guard.
Sasha Pavlov?
Pavlov.
Sure, sure. Donyell Marshall. Damon Jones.
Damon Jones is going to win a title.
But who's won a title without help? You know, like LeBron, like you said, it's so impressive. He's 22. He had like 100 games in.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. You have to have somebody to help you win a title. Iverson, he took that team to the NBA Finals. That wasn't a great team.
With Eric Snow.
Eric Snow again. By the way, if you're watching on Peacock, we have a real treat. One dining moment. Todd Fritz will sing One Dining Moment. That'll be coming up in minutes from now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.